Well, thank you very much for inviting me. It's great to be with you. And also, I just want to say thank you to you as a church and as individuals for the support you already give to Tear Fund. We couldn't do what we do without you. So your support is really appreciated. I'm going to start with a little quiz. I'm going to ask some questions. If you think you know the answer, put your hand up. Which year are we talking about? It was the year that Boeing introduced the first jumbo jet, the 747. It was the year the first manned spacecraft orbited the moon. Any, you can put your hand up if you think you know the answer. It was the year Manchester United became the first English team to win the European Cup. I've got a United supporter there. I'm sorry for you, sir. It was the year the civil rights leader Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. What year? 1968. Absolutely right. 50 years ago, the year I was just starting to think about what O-levels I might be taking. 1968, the year Tear Fund was started, 50 years ago. And 50 years, well, that's a good reason to reflect on what God says about 50-year anniversaries, as we heard in Leviticus 25. And God lays down some important principles in that chapter. In verse 23, he says, "The land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants." And in verse 35, he says, "If one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident." The Israelites are told they are living in God's land and his rules apply. And he lays down these social imperatives to look after the poor. And the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, was a time for restoration, for resetting the clock, for restoring property to its original owner, for rebalancing wealth and poverty in society, for re-establishing fairness and justice, so that God's redeemed people could flourish in the way he intended in his world. We'll come back to that in a moment. But over the last 50 years, Tear Fund has worked across the world to fulfill God's plans for his people. We have seen countless examples of individuals and communities experiencing restoration, freedom, equality, and justice, just as God intended. Today, we work in about 52 countries with over 250 partners supporting the work of restoration, renewal, justice, and freedom. In the last 50 years, the number of people in the world in extreme poverty has fallen by about 50%. And extreme poverty is broadly defined as people living on less than a dollar a day. And millions have been lifted out of spiritual and material poverty through the work of our partners. But you only have to look at the newspapers and the television screens to realize that there's a long way to go yet. We still live in a very broken world. We see families fleeing homes because of conflict. We see people who can't feed their families because of drought or floods. We see people who simply don't have the skills or training to lift themselves out of poverty. They just don't know how to make things better for themselves. And still, 1 in 9 people in the world live in poverty. That's something like 800 million people in poverty. And when we look at that, we all tend to think, what can I do to make a difference? The problem is so big. So much going on. I just don't know where to start. Poverty and injustice are just too much for me to tackle. I just don't think I can do anything by myself. But if God's plan is for fairness and equality in his world, if that's his plan, then we, his people, the church, should be doing something about it together. And that's what we do at Tear Fund. We believe we can end extreme poverty. And we've set ourselves a mission not to stop until we have. So we follow Jesus to where the need is greatest, where the people are poorest, the parts of the world that are hardest to reach, to places like the Democratic Republic of Congo. It should be a wealthy country. It's the second biggest country in Africa. It's got 80 million people. It's full of natural resources. And yet 87% of the population live below the poverty line. Because poverty is fueled by brokenness. And in the DRC, particularly civil war and political breakdown have caused broken relationships. The country is broken socially, economically, and politically. It's what we call a fragile state. But this isn't new. God knows that our sin results in brokenness, in injustice, in poverty. And the instructions we saw in Leviticus 25 are God's way of dealing with the problems of social relationships, of economic security, and of community well-being. God's plan was for Israel to live in a way that honored God, that maintained healthy relationships with each other and with God's creation. But he also knew that things would go wrong. He knew that our sin breaks things. He knew that some people would become poor, that some people would be tempted to take advantage of others, that some people might even have to sell themselves into bonded labor. Those are all in that passage from Leviticus 25 that we read earlier. And so he ordained the year of Jubilee to reset the clock every 50 years for each generation, a time to restore Israel and the Israelites to the life God intended for them, a time when every family could redeem the share of land that had been allocated to them when Israel settled into the land. The Jubilee was a time to counter success and failure, greed and exploitation, inequality and poverty. A time to restore fairness and justice. And that's God's plan for his world. That's what he wants. He wants justice and liberation, fairness and equality for individuals, communities, and countries. And so we at Tear Fund seek to follow that in small ways, in communities, with families. And in the DRC, with a poor, broken society, there is a desperate need for this restoration. We work with our partners there to carry Christ's light into some of the hardest to reach places. Now, have we got the technology? We have a film, short little film to watch, about one lady in the DRC. And a little bit more background to that. Burungi lives in a remote village in the northeast corner of the DRC. It's so far from the nearest town that to get there, you have to take a truck to the river, a boat across the river, and then a motorbike down the track to the village. But our partner, Action on Trade, is driven by God's love to reach villages like Burungi's, to go into the remotest areas of the country, to bring hope and restoration to Burungi and people like her. They give people skills and training to lift themselves out of poverty. And it's important to see they're not giving handouts, but they're equipping people to build strong and sustainable futures for themselves. They're empowering them to develop their lives with hope and dignity. And through initiatives like the Skills Workshop that we saw in the film, they're enabling people like Burungi, who have nothing, to discover that the answer to poverty actually lies within themselves. They're restoring their dignity and self-worth. They're bringing in the marginalized, women particularly, and ethnic groups who are traditionally looked down on. People just like Burungi. As the eldest child, and as a girl, as you saw in the film, she was expected to stay at home and look after her younger brother and sister. She didn't have an opportunity to go to school like the boys. Her only future was marriage, so that her dowry would bring financial stability. But the opportunity that arose when her uncle saw her potential and told her about the skills workshop allowed her to write her own future, to find stability and economic independence. And also, encouraged by her teachers, her faith and her understanding of God's love has grown. And now she's confident of her identity as a child of God, loved and redeemed by Jesus, as well as having that self-belief in running a successful business. She no longer lives in poverty, but she's been set free. She's overcome all those obstacles and limitations that are put on so many young girls in the DRC, but also in so many other countries around the world. We want to share Burungi's story because it is the message of Jubilee, of redemption and restoration. But we also want to carry on telling stories like hers in the future, because we follow Jesus. That reading we had from Luke's Gospel tells of Jesus's manifesto. He proclaims that the year of the Lord's favor has come. And that is a reference back to the year of freedom, the year of Jubilee in Leviticus. And Jesus says, I'm fulfilling the prophecy. I'm fulfilling the promise, because my mission is to bring the restoration and redemption that was promised in the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. And if we're following Jesus, We should be doing the same in our communities and around the world. And that's exactly what our partners are doing in the DRC and across the world. They bring good news to the poor. They set the prisoners free. They free people like Burundi from oppression, from social and cultural oppression, and they give them a future with dignity and self-worth. Some years ago, I was able to visit a Tear Craft centre in Sri Lanka, about 12 years ago now, and the guys who ran the workshop, they made jigsaws, absolutely beautiful jigsaws. They have really good fret saws that cut the pieces very accurately. They painted them beautifully, and they sold them through Tearcraft, but also to about 40 other different suppliers across Europe. All over, they got sold all over Europe. Absolutely fantastic. And the guy who ran this said, "We only have one qualification needed for people to come and work in our workshop. And that's that they have no qualifications whatsoever." This was somewhere for people who had nothing to come and learn the skills, the trades, to start earning money and to equip themselves for a real future. It gave hope to the hopeless. That's what our partners do in so many different places. And we believe that this is the mission of the church, the body of Christ, following him, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, the year of freedom, of restoration, of redemption. Burundi said, "Without my training, I would be at home without even enough food to live on. I would be suffering." That was the future that she saw. But now she's a successful businesswoman with ambition, with hope, with self-worth. But for every Burundi, there are hundreds of men and women who haven't yet been given that opportunity. So we need your help to continue to support partners like Action on Trade, to give more and more people the opportunity for restoration and redemption, to realize our vision of lifting 5 million people out of spiritual and material poverty. We can do it together, and it doesn't cost very much. Just £12 a month provides training in business skills over a year for two people like Burundi. It doesn't cost very much. If you are interested in helping us to start transforming more and more lives, then there are some of these cards on the chairs. You can fill them in, hand them to me at the end of the service. We just do the rest. If you don't have bank details with you, there is a little box, the dark shaded one here. You can just fill in a phone number, give it back to me, and I can arrange from one of our lovely people at Tear Fund to give you a call, to talk to you about giving. I think in a moment we're going to play a short slide sequence. Have we got that available? Yeah, we can do that. It's got a number of images from the DRC. Just take a moment while this is playing to reflect on what I've been saying today and just to ask God what he's saying to you about possibly supporting us. And before we do this, and as I finish, I'm just going to close with a short prayer that was written by Archbishop Justin Welby for our 50th anniversary. Let's pray together. Gracious and generous God, you became poor so that we might be enriched by your love. and you gave the world's wealth and resources as a common inheritance of all human beings. We pray that you would strengthen your church to be a beacon of hospitality for the poor. We pray that, seeing the light of Christ's love, the nations and the peoples of the world may fight not to kill, but to outdo one another in the care for the poor and in actions of gracious generosity. Through him who, for our sakes, did not grasp the wealth of heaven, but instead gave all to live for us as a slave and to die for us in pain, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Father God, we thank you so much that as we see these examples of the work of Tear Fund, they are all evidence that you are at work in our world. Thank you, Lord, that you've not abandoned us, you've not given up on a world marked by so much injustice and poverty. And thank you, Lord, that we get the privilege actually of seeing people belonging to your church worldwide who are sacrificially committed to loving and serving and lifting people out of poverty. We praise you that we can play a part in the work of Tear Fund as we pray, as we give, as we support our brothers and sisters in Christ in this work. Father, we are like those people in Isaiah's day looking at the mess of the world and thinking maybe you've forgotten us, but Lord, we praise you that this morning we're reminded you haven't. Lord, thank you for those 52 countries where Tear Fund is working with local churches, with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for those millions of people who have been lifted out of extreme poverty, both physical and spiritual. Lord, you are not a God who walks away from your creation. You're a God who redeems it. And amazingly, you choose to redeem it through your people. Lord, we thank you for Burundi and her story. Thank you for her discovering herself to be your child in Christ, made in your image with such dignity given to her by you. And Lord, we pray for many more men and women and children in the Democratic Republic of Congo and elsewhere to come to understand their place as people created by you, as people redeemed by your son Jesus. Lord, help each one of us to see the part you'd have us play in following Jesus where the need is greatest. Thank you for Tear Fund. Thank you for other agencies working across this world. But Lord, just would you show us more of your grace, not just that we would be amazed by the grace you show us, but so that we will be made into people of grace, people who hold out the word of life in this world. We ask that you will be glorified and that we would discover in a deeper way what it means to be your people in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.